nosotros.
Listening to KHEN LPFM Radio, 106.9 Salida, Colorado, Salida, your Truth Quest programs are streamed on the internet at khen.org and archived at www.gimmesometruth.info. And this evening, my special guest is Clint Richardson, and he's created the video Corporation Nation, and he gets into the comprehensive annual financial reports. And Clint, are you there?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. we had him scheduled on my other radio program, but this one will suffice quite nicely, and maybe we'll try him again on the other one too while we're at it. But we can get a little bit more in depth because of the format of this program. And I also want to say that the views expressed on this program are those of myself and my guests, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the KHEN staff, volunteers, or board of directors. And Clint, would you like to tell the audience a little bit more about yourself and how you got into making this video?
Sure thing. Well, first of all, thank you for having me on. I really appreciate it. Boy, it's a long story, but we'll start. I was actually a professional sound editor and sound designer in Hollywood. I was there for about 6 years. And so it's where I developed my audio skills as far as recording and editing. And I was working on a vast variety of movies, video games, commercials, that sort of thing. And, you know, I was listening to the radio one day, realizing that I'm in the middle of Propaganda Central, pumping out all kinds of lies, essentially, from Hollywood. And, I was listening to the radio, and I believe it was on the Alex Jones show long ago, back when I still listened to that. And he had a guest on there that was talking about these guys who would live on the military base, part of the military. They would have their family living on the military base, and they would go to work each morning, and they would get inside of a video game booth, essentially, and they would grab the controls, and they would start flying the drones that are flying in Iraq and Afghanistan and Pakistan and any, who knows where else they're going at this point, probably United States at this point. But they'd get in there, and they'd start bombing people, and they'd start killing women, children, maybe hitting 3% of the targets they were actually trying to hit. And, had about a three-second delay, and he'd spend a full day doing that, and at the end of the day, he'd get up, get out of his video game booth like he was playing a video game, and would go home to his family. And the next day, get up and do the same thing again, and not even have a second thought about it, because quite frankly, my generation and the ones after it have grown up on this entertainment/video game empire that's grown up. And so I started taking a look at what I was doing and started taking a look at what we were pumping out of this place. And I was working on an actual game at the time. I apologize, I've been sick, so if I cough a little. Working on a game called Resident Evil at the time, which is just this mishmash of demonic, horrible creatures and sounds. And I was really good at it. You know, I could make the blood and the roars and all this great stuff. And something happened, and I just had I guess what you would call a crisis of conscience, which I'm hoping that more people have throughout our society, because I realized I couldn't do this anymore. I couldn't be part of this machine that is making people like this kid go into work every day and play a video game while killing people and not think a second thought about it. The whole get some attitude just really disgusted me, and so I actually ended up leaving about an $80,000-$90,000 a year job, and now I am poor, but I am extremely happy, and I decided to put my skill set to more of a community service type of deal. And so the first thing I did was to actually call up a guy named Walter Burian. And if anybody knows about Walter Burian, you know, yeah, he's pretty much, yeah, the...
I've had him on the program a couple of times.
Oh, well, there you go. So, yeah, he, you know, I was fortunate enough to spend about 2 weeks or so just talking his ear off and listening and trying to comprehend everything he was telling me, which, of course, his knowledge base is so vast that that would be impossible. But he did give me about a 30-year education within that 2 weeks. And somehow I picked it up. I don't have a financial background. I don't have a banking background. Nothing like that. But I picked it up, and I understood what was happening, and I understood that these reports were literally the basic financial structure of government. And so we made a documentary, and I did it for free, just pro bono, because he needed the help, and this needed to get out there. And so pretty much that's what I've been doing since. I actually hired a guy to do the video for his. And then one day I sat down, I have this video program on my computer, and I said, well, what the heck, let's just see if I can put this together in a comparable way, and I don't know, what do you think? Did I do a good job?
It's very thorough, and yeah. and you do really get the point across, because the one thing with Walter, he's excellent at what he does, but he speaks so fast, sometimes some of us that are a little slower in thought have to, you know, take a little while to absorb it all. But so I think this is what you did with your Corporation Nation is really get into the real nitty-gritty of what's in these reports.
Right. And you know, honestly, it's just the basics. It really is. And I'm trying to fill that niche where Walter is not necessarily getting to. And because Walter's more interested in talking to people who can actually, you know, the fund managers, the people who are already in the know, who understand accounting, who understand commodities and trading, you know, because he was one of the top commodities trading advisors. So, of course, he has such a vast knowledge that sometimes it's hard for people to come down to a level and make others understand it. And so that's what I'm trying to do. I'm really trying to translate what he says into normal speak to where anybody can understand it, because really that's what needs to happen is a total comprehension of just the normal everyday Joe Schmo beer drinking guy, because if it's not understood, we're in deep trouble. I mean, this is as I pointed out in the video, this is fascism come to America. It's been happening under our noses for the last 60-70 years. And it's already here. It's not a matter of deterring it. It's a matter of either taking back what has been stolen, or just going into complete and utter control. Really, that's why it's so urgent for me to, and why I'm going to continue to do this as much as I can.
One of the things
with
limited
income.
I heard someone speaking this morning when they referred to the Fourth Reich. They referred to it like an economic takedown, and ultimately, I believe this is what this CAFR represents: is the economic takeover of this country, and done with a mechanism that we're trying to deal with it on a governmental level, and it's kind of like going to a a dinner and bringing rocks. You know, you're just not, it's not the same thing.
Well, and I've been having the same debate with a lot of people who, you know, there's always a pyramid structure in every type of business, and make no mistake that government is business. It's corporate all the way, absolutely. Every single bit of it is corporations. Municipalities are called municipal corporation. I live within the Salt Lake City Corporation. I can go downtown to the office, which is called the Salt Lake City Corporation. There's no, you know, we're speaking about just complete truth here. There's no conspiracy. This is how it is. It's not an opinion. It's the truth. You live within a corporation called a municipal corporation. Some people live in unincorporated areas. However, they live within the county, which is also a corporation. So the state, the same thing. Federal government, we've, you know, had that debate plenty of times.
I'm just trying to say is we're dealing with it in a framework of constitution. And when you're dealing with corporations, they come under different parameters, correct?
Sure, they do actually operate under UCC code. In fact, I was just on a website today that listed all of the Utah corporations all operating under Universal Commercial Code. And you know, the unfortunate truth is, yes, there's a lot of people out there who worship the Constitution, who think it's just the greatest thing since sliced bread, but who don't understand the Constitution and what it actually is. And unfortunately, that's one of the hardest problems that we face is getting people out of the worship mode of this Constitution and say, look, the Fifth Amendment, just to give you an example, the Fifth Amendment is called, the last part of it is called the Takings Clause. If anybody's not familiar with that, the Takings Clause is literally eminent domain. I mean, it tells you right in the Fifth Amendment that they can take your property. So there's things about the Constitution that aren't so great. There's good things and there's bad things. The problem is we're dealing with corporations who are running on their own code, U.S. code, Utah code, California code, which has absolutely nothing to do with the Constitution. And so what we're talking about is a completely... you know, it's a completely different structure of government. It's a corporate government. It is not what most people think it is. Even though they've heard the fact that their county and their cities are incorporated, they don't really give a thought as to what that means. And that's a big problem.
Right. And even though, I mean, idealistically, these corporations should come under the Constitution, there are, is it maybe doublespeak or other things that have taken place to maybe usurp it? Or how would you describe that?
Well, you know, like I said, the Constitution, again, it's if there was one thing that actually our good old boy George Bush said that was correct, he said that the Constitution is just a gosh darn piece of paper, and literally, really, it is, because what it really is an ideal. It's a set of ideas. It's a set of ideals. But the God-honest truth is that you have rights, but they are God-given rights, and you only have those rights if you verbalize and use those rights and act upon those rights. The Constitution does not give anyone any rights, period. The Constitution was designed to limit the federal government. That was its main goal. So your rights stem from you. They stem from what God gave you. No matter what your opinion or your belief in God is, you can be any religion and still fall under God's law. Because God's law says as long as you don't hurt or kill or harm the property of anyone else, you're not breaking a law. It's simple as that. And so what we've got is a bunch of corporations acting in lieu of a lawful constitutional government, and they set codes. And then they have police who are not lawful and constitutional. No, they are code enforcers. So they're enforcing the code of the corporate structure of each municipality, each county, each state, and the federal government.
No,
so that's basically where we're sitting.
Okay, now, but when this country was actually formed, was it not somewhat brought under charters and things that were designed for more of a corporate structure than really it was constitutional?
Yeah, I mean, that's another really
deep subject
that would take a whole 2 hours to
yes,
go through.
Yes, it would.
I mean, there's several treaties. If you look at the actual incorporation of Washington, D.C., for example, of the federal government, that actually happened in 1801. There was a treaty or an act of 1801. Then in 1871, I believe, the act of 1871 actually took the three or four different corporate structures, municipalities, in other words, that were in Washington, D.C., and made them into one municipality for municipal purposes, corporation for municipal purposes. And then you've got the bankruptcies of 1933, I believe. You've got Jim Trafficking getting up and saying, hey, you know, we're in our third or fourth bankruptcy. There's so many things that you can point out to say, yes, it's, you know, the term reorganization is another one. If you reorganize, you're talking about a corporate structure.
Right.
So, you know, have no doubt, absolutely no doubt, that we're in a corporate structure. And once you understand that, you'll understand why these CAFRs, these Comprehensive Annual Financial Reports, are being filled out by the chief financial officers. That's a corporate term. Why do you have a president, a vice president, a secretary, a treasurer in each of these, and trustees in each of these corporations, each of these municipalities? It's because they are corporate structures. You have a president of the United States, United States being United States Inc. So, the whole thing is set up as a business. It is federal law, first of all, that each of these government corporations fill out these comprehensive annual financial reports. And so, to get into that, there's, you know, right now we're sitting at last count, according to Walter Burian, we're sitting at over 185,000 different individual government structures within the United States. And when we say a government structure, we mean the state, down to the county, individual governments. And then within the county, you have the cities, townships, municipalities, enterprise operations, which can be golf courses, which are individual operations going on within the government. You've got school districts. Each school district is a corporation. It's a government, essentially. Your water districts, your sewer districts, your all these districts, down to the smallest finite organization that is a governmental organization. These are all corporations. They each file an individual comprehensive annual financial report, which is the full accounting of everything that they do. Now, I won't say everything because obviously a lot of money is hidden. But what we're talking about is the holy grail of information, because it shows the hidden wealth that that each county and each city or municipality has. Just to give you an example, I mean, I'm doing another really quick documentary here just because I found so much interesting stuff. We find, I mean, I just went through the Salt Lake County Comprehensive Annual Financial Report, pardon me, and I found, so far at least, without even trying, I found over $1 billion in funds that were not reported to the people. They're only reported on this count. What you get every year as a citizen or member of the county or the city that you live or the state, you get what's called a taxpayer budget. Now, the taxpayer budget is just a little teeny part, a little portion of the Comprehensive Annual Financial Report. And that taxpayer budget shows the taxes that you pay, all your property taxes, anything they collected within the parking meters, your fines, fees, anything, any type of sales tax, that show, that report that we see every year, that's doubt, no doubt always going to be just a little bit in the red so that they can justify higher budget, that is what you see every year. But that doesn't account for, it only accounts for tax in, tax out, what they collect in taxes and what they spend in either taxes or what they create a deficit with and then charge you taxes later on or raise your taxes each year. Then you have the comprehensive annual financial report, which is the taxpayer budget, but also all of the investments, all of the assets of the city, all the liquid investments, liquid assets, all the cash, all the stock investments, all the real estate that it owns, all these things are in these reports. And when you start to understand and you start to see how much money is within each city and each county, especially, you can do nothing else but scream. I mean, it's maddening because, like I said, I found over $1 billion that's not on the balance sheets. They're within these funds, the general purpose operating fund. They'll open a fund to create a new bridge, create a road, do improvements, beautification projects. I looked up Detroit, and the city of Detroit had over 32 different individual funds. You would think Detroit would be completely broke by now, but no, they have billions and billions of dollars hidden in these funds that are constantly being invested, constantly gaining interest, constantly gaining capital assets.
Yeah.
So anytime that you hear your city or your county claim that they don't have the money to pay for anything, people need to pull up these reports, you know, watch my documentary, watch Walter's documentary, learn, just go through these things. I'm no brain scientist. I'm not a mathematician. I'm not an accountant. But I can go through these things now after spending months learning how, and I can say, okay, well, there's some money. It's not being reported, you know, to the people. Here's a fund. And this city has, you know, Salt Lake City within Salt Lake County. So we know Salt Lake County has about $2 billion extra just kind of lying around, can be liquidated, can be spent on debt or anything else. They have the choice to spend it wherever they want. It's called unrestricted, unreserved net assets. Then I look at the city. City being a completely different organizational structure, a completely different government, and I see that Salt Lake City has over it was over $5 billion in extra cash, extra investments, extra real estate, extra stuff that it can liquidate. Unreserved net assets.
Now, one of the things that I've run into, particularly in my state, because of you keep constantly, and I'm not an expert on this, believe me, but they keep talking about this debrucing thing or whatever, and ultimately they will claim that they can't spend the money because it's tied up in some other aspect.
They do have that, and that is partially true. Now, the actual, let me just pull one up here real quick. That's probably the easiest way to do it. What they say in the beginning of the report, you'll have the financial analysis, essentially. I'm using Salt Lake County right now, and if I just go down to the financial section and I look at, they're all set up the same way, so once you learn to read one, you can pretty much read them all. It's called the manage. They all say this. It's about around page 15 to 20, and it says management's discussion and analysis. Here for the county of Salt Lake, it says the county's government-wide net assets, the amount by which assets exceed liabilities as of December 31st, 2009, were $897 million. Okay, so that's almost $1 billion just in their net assets. That's not including all of these funds where they have extra hidden money. If you're going to go challenge people and say, why don't you use that, you're going to have to really do dig into these funds and dig into the sentences that, like the one I'm about to read to you. Here's what it says about those net assets. So right now we have $897 million where the assets exceeded the liabilities, okay? Then about three paragraphs down, it states that the unreserved, undesignated fund balance, as reported in the governmental fund financial statements, represents the amount available for appropriation and spending, okay? That means it's just sitting there ready to be spent. It is not reserved for anything, and it has not been designated for anything. It is the unreserved, undesignated fund balance. This amount for county governmental funds, and this is just for the funds that they actually report, as of the close of 2009, was $154.9 million. So I know now that the county, as of December 31st, 2009, has $154.9 million worth of balances in their funds that can be spent for anything. It is not designated and it is unreserved. It's simple as that. It doesn't get any easier than that. Once you read these things and you start to understand that language, you're like, oh well, explain that. If it's unreserved and undesignated, why aren't you using it? Why aren't you using it? Why aren't you helping out the people? Why aren't you fixing the potholes? Why aren't you, you know, why are you charging an extra fee to have police? Why are you doing all these things?
Well, do they not come back somewhat with saying that we have to have, I mean, because they can't, they have to go through a certain process to be able to raise the funds again if they do, so they kind of keep some money in reserve, correct?
Yeah, they do have a set reserve on these funds where they don't like them to get to the bottom. But what we're talking about here is money. It's money that has been collected by the tax from the taxpayers, put into funds, and then not used, to benefit the people. Instead, it sits there and it grows wealth. The problem is the wealth that it does grow often doesn't come back to the city. There's certain types of fund where the federal government has a law. It's called an arbitrage law. If you're not familiar with arbitrage, arbitrage simply means to make money off of money. It's basically usury. It's basically if you see a glitch in the system where the yen and the dollar are trading at 2-to-1 and the reverse trade for the dollar to the yen is somehow mixed up, it's off a bit, you simply buy the yen and then rebuy the dollar, and you've taken advantage of that mistake in the system, and that's called arbitrage. You're like a vulture, and so what they'll do is they'll take these funds and they'll invest them in that way. The problem is those investments don't necessarily go into the fund again. They go to the federal government. There's all kinds of very crooked things that are happening, like
now,
that.
Okay, now, one of the things that you really get into is showing how these municipalities and government entities, even down to, us paying for our own lobbying, that lobbies against us.
Yeah, exactly.
And there's so many. I mean, this is where you're watching your videos, well worth your while to sit down and spend the time to watch, because it gives you a good understanding of how vast the holdings are of this country and how wealthy we are, but how. I don't know how to use the term that, but it's done in such a way that this again, you have to kind of explain it better than I can.
Well, you know, Walter Burian, he said two things that really struck a nerve with me. That he said the pension funds across America have Well, I mean, it's more now. In fact, I'm about to prove that. But pension funds alone are sitting at about $26, $27 trillion. Now, you, me, and the average Joe Schmo, which doesn't include Walter, by the way, I still can't comprehend what $1 trillion even is. I know that it's $1 million, okay? $1 million piles of $1 million. Can you imagine that? Can you even comprehend how much money that is? No. Nobody can comprehend, except people like Walter, what that even represents. And all of that money is invested in real estate within the United States and internationally. It's invested in Fortune 500 companies, to where at this point the government controls all Fortune 500 companies because it has controlling stock interest and ownership within those companies. It's invested in foreign currencies. It's invested in places you can't even imagine. And I can't even imagine because these reports don't necessarily give you all of that information. The one report that I did have was the Florida Holdings report, which I featured in that video, which you can really go through that thing and you will be amazed at how many, just for instance, how many banks the state of Florida within its pension funds and other funds are invested in. You didn't even know that these banks existed, and yet here the government is invested in banks in Jordan, banks in Africa, banks in Europe, banks in Switzerland, banks, you know, Bank of America. All of them are hands down in their top 10 stock holdings, are holding J.P. Morgan Chase. J.P. Morgan Chase outright is practically owned by the government. So,
but isn't that kind of what the bailouts were about?
No. You know what the bailouts were about?
What?
Generating wealth.
Well, that I understand, but in a sense, if we ended up buying out some of these companies that were supposedly going under,
uh-huh,
wasn't that kind of a switching
of ownership?
Well,
when you say we, who are you referring to?
Well, supposedly the government stepping in and saving these two big-to-fail banks.
They are now what are called government corporations. They are listed in the Federal Comprehensive Annual Financial Report as government institutions. If you're talking about Freddie and mm-hmm. Fannie Mae, and you were talking about, what was the other one, the other huge one, AIG. Yeah, they are now government corporations. But when you say government, remember, that's really not we.
Right, right.
That's that 10-mile stretch of land that's incorporated as the United States of America called U.S. Inc. That little stretch of land in Washington, D.C. that's not in any of the 50 United States, it's not part of the United States. It's its own country, essentially. So that's who owns those banks now. So, and truthfully, you know, when you get down to it, I finally got a little payoff, and because I was trying to prove and trying to get some substance to the fact that I keep hearing people say that essentially all banks fall back to the Bank of Rothschild. And I think, I'm not sure yet, but I think I've got the actual breakdown of how that is. And it turns out that all of these banks are not independent, that they're actually funded. And it sounds like they're pretty much run by the Bank of Rothschild, all the
right,
including
right.
the Federal Reserve, it sounds like. So, I mean, we're talking about a Ponzi scheme of ultimate proportions here that most people that I don't think can possibly, including myself, can possibly even grasp how big of a scope and size it is. We're talking about ownership of land and property and business and corporations throughout the world, not just throughout the United States. So,
well,
frightening stuff.
I mean, when they supposedly funded or bailed out these institutions, it's so they were taking the funds out of this country and taking them elsewhere. Now,
well, the easiest way to understand what they do when they do that
uh-huh.
is you always separate the assets of a corporation and the liabilities of a corporation.
Mm-hmm.
What you do as a smart corporate government is that you nationalize the liabilities. In other words, the liabilities are going to get paid off by the taxpayers. And so you're gonna float a bond or whatever it is that you do to pay off those liabilities with taxpayer money. Meanwhile, the assets get sunk into the government structure. And so what we are doing is we're being given the bad end of the deal. They're saying, well, this bank is no longer profitable, and therefore you're going to have to pay off all of its debt and all of its liabilities, and we're going to keep the profits and the assets for ourselves, and who knows where those assets are going to go. They're either going to build back up the bank, or they're going to merge that bank with another one of their institutions, and that's the reality of the situation. It's called nationalizing the debt. It's that's what nationalizing is. When you nationalize any corporation that the government takes over, you're simply adding the debt of that corporation, the liabilities, into the taxpayer base, and you're keeping the assets for yourself. That's what nationalizing is. Simple as that.
Now, I did an interview just last Saturday with Ellen Brown, and she was coming up with and I've done it on this program as well. We've interviewed her on this program as well, and she's coming up with these different ways of trying to work out this situation and educate the public. But there's a lot of different opinions running around out there, and as of all of them, I still think Walter has pinpointed it best. But there another person out there is Catherine Austin Fitz.
She's wonderful.
Yeah, and you know, it would just be so nice to see all of you guys get together, and I'm not sure it's possible. But just to kind of, you know, because when we get people like Bernanke and them standing up in front of us and threatening us with, you know, these things in case if we don't bail them out, this is what Walter's work, you know, steps up and shows us in black and white.
Yeah, and I'll be honest with you, everything that I'm trying to do, like I said, I haven't made one red cent off my effort here, and I don't plan to. That's not the point. When you see, you know, I think when someone sees something so wrong and you see the end is nigh and it's coming sooner than later, you can't just sit back and let it happen and not try to tell people, and that's where I am. And so everything I'm doing from now on is essentially to try to draw people towards Walter and towards this understanding. You know, I'm finding that even people like G. Edward Griffin and Ellen Brown do not know this stuff. In
right.
fact, G. Edward Griffin actually was afraid of Walter's TRF program, which is a brilliant thing, because he thought that it would make it so that the government he literally said you can't do that because then the government will have control over the corporations. And I just laughed. I couldn't believe that this man who wrote the Jekyll Island book and has done so many brilliant things does not have the comprehension of what is happening, doesn't understand that the government already owns the corporations and controls them and votes for everything they do. And I was really shocked that people of such a grandiose position in this movement do not have this knowledge. And so, I agree. Walter's been saying this for years, and now I understand why he says it. This is the only thing people should be concentrating on, because this, for one thing, you can pull up these reports, you can see for yourself where the wealth is, what they're doing with it, how they're spending it. You can see it with your own eyes. You don't have to wonder. You don't have to sit there and think about these elitist, you know, dark figures out there plotting against us. Yeah, they're very well, you know, might be these people who are controlling us, but what's the point of worrying about that? Why not concentrate on what you can fix? Why not concentrate on the facts? The fact, the absolute fact, is that you can go and you can pull up the CAFR, the Comprehensive Annual Financial Report, in your venue, and you can start doing your own research, and you can see what's going on. You can start adding up you'll have to request a lot of this information, but you can start adding up how much government actually owns in corporations. And when you come to the understanding that 80-90% of corporations, all corporations are 80-90% owned by government, you start to see a whole brand new picture, and you start to understand why corporations can get away with what they're doing. Well, why pass a health care bill? Because your pharmaceutical companies and your medical companies are going to make vast amounts of money. Well, what's that going to do? It's going to raise the stock price. It's going to make the government a lot of money.
Well, you know, you open your film. Well, let me first say that I'm talking to Clint Richardson, who has made at his own expense and the video Corporation Nation, which is up on Google Video, and it's well worth watching to give you an idea of what we're talking about, because this is the basics of what's running this country and the world, really. I mean, these corporations have now, I don't know which is you'd want to say, taken over or are taking over or so intermingled with the governmental structure that if we don't know what's going on here, we're not going to understand what's going on in the world.
Well, I want to make sure that people understand that it's not the corporate. It appears that the corporations are the ones that are doing that. It appears that they're operating outside of the law, that they have the control of government, but in fact it's the other way around, because when you see that the government actually has controlling stock interest in all of these corporations, and Monsanto and all the evil ones, all the banks, all of these, when you see that, and then you understand corporate governance, where the pension funds especially are voting according to how much ownership stock they have in the corporation. They're voting on mergers and acquisitions. They're voting on whether or not to split the stock, if that'll be beneficial to their particular fund. They're the ones that are deciding what happens in these corporations. If they're the ones voting for the boards of directors, the board of directors is the one that's voting for the CEO. Okay? Right. So it's not corporations that we need to focus on, because corporations, at least you can do something about the corporations if you have a government that passes the laws that says, hey, you can't do that. You can't use usury in our state. You can't do that. But we don't have that. Instead, we have a government who's passing the laws that allows their controlled corporations to do what they're doing. And yes, it's a fine line, because we are talking about a cooperative effort here between these corporations and between the corporate structure of government.
But you still have to understand how both of them function, because you've got a corporation that acts as a person that has a lot of markings of what a person can do, and yet it can still function without ethics. And yet we're trying to make do we want these type of entities working within our governmental structure. I find it hard. I know exactly what you're saying, but I find it hard to not have to understand them, their whole incentive of operation.
Well, the incentive is it's literally it's opportunity. I mean,
right?
They both have a good thing going. And unfortunately, one of the most important things to understand here is that we're talking about people, okay? A corporation is an artificial person. It has no feelings. It has no religion. All it's there to do, the whole purpose of a corporation is to make a profit, and that includes government, okay? Government is there to make a profit. That's what taxation is. That's what these investments are. That's why they continuously prop up and build new homes and malls and mini malls and movie theaters, because they're profitable, despite the fact that all these homes are going vacant. It doesn't matter to these guys, because it's profitable to do this. They're floating bonds and making the homeowners of the area the ones responsible as collateral anyway, so that they've got nothing to lose. So what we're talking about is people. Okay, you, me, anyone else, if you get into a corporate job structure, whether it's private or government, there's one major thing that is missing out of business, out of corporate land, and that is ethics, morals, values, honesty, integrity. That has completely been weeded out, and very purposefully, because right now you cannot get ahead in business. You cannot get ahead in government. You cannot get elected in government, and if you do, you're not going to stay there long. If you have moral compass and you have a strong value system, and even if you're a constitutional type of person, you are, I mean, what? Constitution is now a terrorist word. I mean, what we're missing and what a lot of people need to grasp is that the people, you, me, my brother, your uncle, are the ones in these positions. We are doing this to ourselves. That is of the utmost importance to understand. You cannot just sit here and blame this corporation, because the corporation, it's like blaming a gun. No, the person who fired the gun is the,
right,
is the one responsible.
Right, right. And I'm not, I'm just saying that structure in its in the way it's acting at this point in time is acting outside of any, a moral compass.
Absolutely.
And until we bring that in there.
The basis of that is it's so simple when you understand that it's just simply opportunity. You get into a position, you are shown that you can make billions, millions or billions of dollars by starting a fund, by saying you're going to build a bridge and charging tax. You know, there's so many ways of making money. You can build, you got the government building condos in every country in the world, and they use the same prospectus over and over and over. All you need is the funding. Well, how do you get the funding? Well, you start a fund. That's what all these funds are. You self-insure. You collect your own dividends from your self-insurance fund. You would be your. It's amazing. It's amazing, and all of it. All it is based on is opportunity, because there's no set of structural laws that says you can't do it. There's no set of structural laws that says you are there solely for the people. You are there to protect and serve the people. That's not what is happening in corporate government, because it is a corporate structure. And the whole purpose of a corporation, again, is to make a profit. Once that happened, government went bye-bye.
Right.
Well, I mean, we're in trouble. That's the bottom line.
Right.
We're in big trouble.
So, I know we need to get to this in towards the end, because particularly when we start culminating of where Walter was going with this. But I guess with you going in and explaining a little bit further and how some of these governmental entities have crossed over into so many aspects of our lives. I mean, when you were showing the Florida situation, how many funds did you figure out? How many funds that they were invested in cross industries
it was a 1,400-page report with 40 or so different investments on each page. Unfortunately, you know, a lot of those you cannot actually see what they're invested in, because they're funds. They're called institutional funds. If you pull up any company out there, any corporation, and you look at the full body of how many actual stocks are there that have been purchased and how many did it release, you can see that, you know, for instance, my Apple Computers, I think, has like 91 million or 91 billion stock, or 9.1, I can't remember. But you can see that about 80 or 90% of the investors into these corporations like Apple, Microsoft, are called institutional investors.
Right.
So in other words, you and me will show as stock owners, as the public, and we'll be like 2-3%.
Right.
80-90% are shown as institutional investments. Now, that sometimes you can find that on the reports, like that Florida Holdings report that's in the actual video. But a lot of times you can't, because governments also have a lot of investments in mutual funds, in all kinds of different funds that are strictly there to invest in stock. And so the money just goes to the fund. It's an institutional fund, so it handles many, 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 many different government investments. And so there's no way to get a real feel as to who, which government owns what, because it's all in the same fund. Mm-hmm. And these are called institutional funds. And, again, if you look at any company and want to get a grasp on who owns what, you look at that full report, and you'll see that the percentage of institutional funds compared to just Joe Schmo, you and me, you'll see that we don't own anything. You'll see that Bill Gates owns nothing of Microsoft. He has no power at Microsoft. Give me a break. You see that the government, the institutional funds, have 83, probably more by now, 85% of Microsoft stock holdings. That means everything you do on the computer, everything that's sold to you as a Microsoft, and everything that you sign off on your end user agreement before you use your computer, you're essentially, that's pretty much a government company. I mean, that's the paradigm that people need to understand. Is all these major corporations that you're supporting, and buying products from, the Walmarts of the country, and the Monsantos, who you don't support but you have to anyway, because otherwise you're not going to be able to eat, because the government's making them the main seed source. All these companies are owned by government, which is why they are allowed to get to the point where they're so tyrannical that they're destroying our food source, that they're patenting our very souls. They're patenting life. 40% of your genes in your body are now patented. You don't own your blood.
Right.
You know, when you give your blood for scientific research, they patent your blood. The whole thing is absolutely nuts.
Yes, it is. It's kind of upside down. But, and one of the things that, you know, I mean, if I was a corporation, and I would think, wouldn't you think that you would end up getting into government just to protect yourself because of the fact that when these institutional funds, if they move those funds, it can make or break you.
Well, absolutely. But Walter put it best when he said, basically, if you're a stockbroker or a stock company, and you're good, then you're going to, chances are you're in the top 5-10%. You're going to go work for government. Everyone else is going to go work for the people, because, you know, when you go and invest in the stock, you know, if you walk into a stockbroker and you say, "I want to invest in this stock," they're not going to say no, because they're going to make money whether you win or lose. That's the honest truth when it comes to stockbrokers. They're happy to do whatever you want. They will let you trade and make the worst decisions or the best decisions. Doesn't matter, because they're making money on the way up and on the way down. And so if you're a corporation who specializes in either funding or trading stocks, your best chance of success is going to be to work for institutional funds, to offer institutional funds, I should say. If not, then you're just going to be a mediocre company. You're never going to get ahead. If you're a trader, you're never going to get too far. You'll have your nice, 2.5 wife and 2.5 kids, and probably lead a pretty normal life. But never will you get ahead. You'll never get to the point where you're trading and you have that inside information, because you work for government.
Well,
it's that simple.
Now, okay, you got started, was it the group We Are Change? Is that
yes,
right?
Ma'am.
Okay. And when you open up your video, you're talking to David Walker. and I remember seeing David Walker on I can't remember if it was on C-SPAN or something of that sort, but, you know, I remembered him. And what I walked away from his speech was the fact that he literally was, what I interpreted what he was saying is, we can't balance the budget. We can't, you know, we're working with numbers that, to me, it almost appeared like he was saying a lot of them were just made up.
Yeah, well, let me tell you something about David Walker. And Walter, you know, Walter, funny thing about Walter, as much as he's gone through, he hates it when people point fingers at certain people. And he said, you shouldn't do that. You shouldn't, you know, you shouldn't put these guys on the spot like that, and da-da-da, you know. And I'm like, Walter, the guy lied to me right in my face. How can I not? And look what he is. So I did the research on who this guy works for. He works for Peter G. Peterson, excuse me, the Peter G. Peterson Foundation. Peter G. Peterson is one of the wealthiest men in America, and it's a multi-billion dollar foundation. Heavily, heavily, heavily into Agenda 21. I'm sure you're familiar with that.
Oh, yeah.
In a big way, as in Peter G. Peterson is one of the main stockholders, and I think on the board of directors, of companies like BlackRock, Blackstone, these really horrific corporations out there, big into Agenda 21. And what we came to find out is that they are actually trying to become the sort of replace the general, the Government Accountability Office, and become, as a private foundation, a private corporation, trying to become the auditor and budgetary structure of government. They're trying to privatize government, is what they're really doing. If you go back and watch his sort of famous movie called IOUSA, you'll see, if you listen closely and you understand what this foundation is trying to do, you'll see that he's actually trying to sell people away from actual representative government into private private structure controlling government, is what he's really doing. This guy's rotten to the core. And so, yeah, naturally, I'm like, are you kidding? I'm going to call this guy out for all I can. I've got another guy researching the Peter J. Peterson Foundation, and hopefully I'll be able to do an expose on that too, because it's one of the darker of the foundations out there, and they're all dark. And there are no nonprofits, by the way. There's no such thing as nonprofit. Don't ever be fooled by the words nonprofit.
So when you confronted David Walker, one of the things that you got into was the fact that there, you know, was about the comprehensive annual financial reports, and he was claiming that, let me see, you explain it better than I can.
The funny part was that I wasn't expecting him to just absolutely flat out disagree with me, but I was like, well, you know, if government is a corporation, and it's actually 185,000 different corporations, how can that be representing the people if they're for-profit corporations, private corporations? And he just kept coming back at me and saying, well, government is not a corporation. And, you know, I'll be honest with you, that was the thing that sparked this whole thing. When this guy said government is not a corporation, I'm like, this is perfect to build upon. Because here I have this guy lying to me straight up, straight in my face, just absolutely lying and trying to manipulate the conversation away from. I mean, it was just the perfect opportunity to build. And the video was only going to be 20, 30 minutes long, and all of a sudden I just started going into this stuff, and I just devoted my life to for a couple months. I just was like, I gotta do this. This is perfect. I gotta show this. And then I have a letter from the Salt Lake City Corporation telling me that I owe them money for a parking ticket that I never got, and that kind of fueled the fire. And so, you know, it was just several sort of serendipitous encounters like that one. That one wasn't planned at all. I just found out who he was when I was there.
Wow.
And so, but yeah, I mean, he slipped up a couple times, said a couple corporate terms, and also used the word budget, and specifically steered away from saying government, and actually said the budget report, because he had to say budget and not comprehensive annual financial report. But no, it's fun. Those confrontations, I try to do that as often as I can, because it's kind of exhilarating, and you know, these people are not above you or me. They're just people. They don't have godlike status. They don't have there's nothing special about them. In fact, I look down upon them, and that alone allows me to go take a camera and get in these people's face and ask them the tough questions, just like any old journalist should be doing.
Okay.
Because they're not better. In fact, they're worse. They're the bug on the bottom of your shoe. They're the ones stealing all of our wealth, prosperity, land, property, and jobs. These are the bad guys. And so don't be scared of them. Look down on them. They're horrible people.
Well, let me go ahead and say this is KHENLP 106.9 Salida, and my guest this evening is Clint Richardson, who has produced the video that's on Google Video and you also off on your website, is that your website?
The website's actually thecorporationnation.com.
Okay.
And it's free to watch up there. Okay. There's also a couple other videos up there, and I intend to put another video up there really soon.
Okay.
As soon as I can get it up.
Okay, and I know we'll get into that here in a little bit, but I do know that my mind just went blank. So well, one of the things that you point out with this you were going into what Ron Paul was getting into is having this auditing the Fed thing. Mm. And that to me seemed to be pretty key when you've been getting in what comprehensive annual financial reports are, and then yet you've got a congressman who's claiming to stand up for the people and audit this Federal Reserve. And do you want to explain that a little bit?
Well, yeah, I actually had some inside information there because Mr. Walter Burian was trying to. He was sending emails, including, to David Walker even, and also to Ron Paul and all these guys, to please, please put up the comprehensive annual financial report and just give a brief explanation of what it is onto their own websites. He wanted Ron Paul to put the comprehensive annual financial report up on their websites, and they said no. I mean, Ron Paul essentially, if my memory serves me correct, Ron Paul basically told Walter, I can't do that. I have a family. This is not something that you talk about. You don't talk about the comprehensive annual financial reports in public. You'll never hear about it on the news. You'll never hear about it anywhere. And so Ron Paul, whether he's good or bad, is essentially lying to the people by saying that he wants to audit the Fed. He knows without any doubt that the comprehensive annual financial report literally is the audit of government. It says so right in the report. I mean, you have a Deloitte and Touche signing off on most of these reports that they're somewhat accurate. So when Ron Paul gets up and does some of these bills that he tries to do, it's to me it's hilarious because I fell for it. Don't get me wrong. I mean, I haven't been this awake all my life, but yeah. We're talking about a guy who chances are has a very large expense account, tax-free, tax-exempt, and he has a family, and he has a very, very, very good position in government. He has lots of retirement for the rest of his life. He's not going to do anything.
But he's on a committee that would be,
sure.
Should be right up there understanding what this is all about.
Right. Well, he does understand. He knows that the Comprehensive Annual Financial Report is the audit of the Federal Reserve. If you want to see what's going on in the Federal Reserve, the 2008 was the one I think I pulled up because that was the only one I could find. But you can go and you can pull up the CAFR for the Federal Reserve. You just type in Federal Reserve Comprehensive Annual Financial Report 2009 or 2008. And you will be able to go through the whole report. It's, 200 and something pages worth of all the things that are happening within the Fed. It tells you what they're paying each person. It tells you how much gold the Fed is holding, how many gold certificates. It tells you how much interest they're paying or getting paid, I should say, on the Federal Reserve notes. $36 billion.
Now, one of the things that Walter points out, and we visited over when he was on the program was the fact, I mean, it's what you're we're talking about here isn't always that easy to come up with that information. Sometimes you do really have to do some asking questions because they don't always make it real easy to come up with the information. I had to go hand copy some of these reports because when I went to certain entities and like they only had one or two and they didn't have, you know, they didn't even bother to, you know, make them that accessible like they should be, right? And another aspect is that, you know, you don't necessarily have to be right and know and understand all of what's in these reports, other than the fact that this is how you start, I mean, when you start going through them, this is how you start learning about your government and what it's doing.
Well, just the fact that that you're not able to go in and demand any piece of information anytime you want as a citizen or a member of that particular community that they're acting as government in tells you that you do not have a representative government. So transparency should be the number one thing that you have that tells you you're living in a free society. And we do not have that. We don't have that in the least. This report is available by law. That's the only reason. They wouldn't do this if they didn't have to, but it's federal law that each corporate structure file this, this comprehensive annual financial report. So, again, if you don't have transparency in government, which is, again, one of the things that Walter is very interesting in changing, if you don't have transparency, you have nothing. You we're lucky we have this report. And when I say lucky, I'm ashamed that I didn't know this was going on before now. I'm you know, this is all, you know, only a year and a half old to me. But once I found out about it, I couldn't stop looking at these reports, and I would constantly call Walter and ask him, you know, what does this mean, and I don't understand. And he'd get frustrated, like he does with a lot of people, because he's constantly answering the same questions over and over and over. And you really have to just go through it and start figuring out what each thing means and for yourself, because otherwise you're never gonna remember the answers to the questions unless you figure out the answers for yourself. And so, you know, you just have to go through the whole thing with a fine-tooth comb, and it might take you a few days. You might have to go from one section to the next because, wait, why isn't that reported up here if it's reported here? I don't understand. Well, it's confusing only to you and me because we are not financial people, and that's by design. You know, of course, they're not going to be forthcoming with this information. I've heard countless stories of people who've called me and called Walter saying, you know, I went in to request information, and they wouldn't talk to me. I had my friend who works in government go and ask someone else in government higher than him, hey, can you explain this to me? And they tell them, do not pursue this any further. You're risking your job. You're risking your career.
Well, this is kind of what happened to Walter, is he did find that, you know, because there is so much money in this, it is such a big thing. But if we don't start asking questions, I mean, where do we start?
let's talk about one thing. And now, a lot of my documentary covers pension funds because pension funds, like I said, $26 trillion in pension funds across the country, and we're only talking government pension funds. Pension funds are really important because a lot of people are very protective. If you're a teacher or if you have a government job in your state or your county, you're very, very, very protective of your pension fund. And I can see why, because it's your retirement. You're thinking that you're involved in something great. It's a mutual it's a mutual savings account, essentially. It's a mutual investment fund that everybody's led to believe is, you know, it's their life savings, it's their retirement. And so naturally the people self-police the pension fund. So anytime you talk about pension funds, you get I don't know, what is it, 10%, 20% of the people that are working for government are on government pensions. So that's a lot of people. So What we have to understand first about pension funds is that government pension funds, 99% of them, 99.9% of them, are what's called a contributory pension fund. Okay, excuse me. When I say the word contributory, what comes to mind?
That means you're contributing and they're contributing, correct?
Right. So when you contribute, let's say you go down to Goodwill and you contribute something, what happens? Is it yours anymore?
No.
No. You've just given that something to Goodwill. So if you're in a contributory pension fund, which, again, all government funds just about are contributory pension funds, you are literally donating your money, your retirement money that you could be investing yourself, and you're giving that to government. What you're doing is you're, as Walter says, you're buying a ticket on the train, okay? The ticket, the train goes from point A to point B being retirement. But at any time during that train ride, you can get kicked off the train. Well, you can't take the train with you because you've given you've given that money to the pension fund. And so you do not have any ownership or equity in the pension fund that you are contributing to. Again, contribute, very important word to dissect and understand what it means. There are some funds that allow you to profit share, and they're called profit sharing funds, which means that you're actually invested in or vested in the actual fund and are drawing dividends and all that. But that's few and far between, and you actually have to go through the contributory portion, say the first 5 or 10% of the fund, in order to get into the profit-sharing portion of the fund. That's more of a private industry thing. So with that in mind, knowing that these people who have put their life savings, essentially, into these pension funds have no equity whatsoever, so that means if the municipality or the state or the county that they're invested in, if that pension fund goes bankrupt or the county declares bankruptcy or martial law or any other one of these things that we're all worried about, that fund goes bye-bye. That money gets usurped back into government. You've already got President Obama talking about, drenching the pension funds and sucking all that money out.
I've never seen a pile of money that they didn't want to go after.
Well, yeah. What we got to understand, and Walter's solution to all this bases it on pension funds, because pension funds are by far the most successful money making machines out there. Okay, so when I released my documentary, I had the 2009 pension funds because that was what was out. The fiscal year generally ends about June 30th. Anywhere from June 30th to December 31st. So I used 2009 pension funds, CAFRs, excuse me. Well, I've just been researching, and I've pulled up some 2010 pension funds. And so just to give you an idea, when you hear your government, when you hear anybody say that, oh, the pension funds are underfunded, we're having real problems with our pension funds, they could use any excuse they want. Our actuarial rates are we just not getting the money? Let me tell you what's happened between 2009 and 2010, okay? A one-year difference. I'm just going to run down, if you don't mind, I'm going to run down some of the pension funds that just filed their reports for 2010.
Okay, go ahead.
So I've got CalSTRS, which is the California State Teachers Retirement System, which is one that I prominently featured in my documentary. As of 2009, their ending fund balance was $118 billion. Last year, that fund, after paying all benefits, after everything's done, all additions and deductions, all assets and liabilities are taken care of, the ending fund balance was $129.7 billion. That is an increase, a net increase of $11.3 billion in 1 year. Okay? So does this sound like this pension fund is maybe underfunded a little bit?
No.
No, because it made an $11 billion profit. Tell me how many even Fortune 500 companies makes that kind of profit. They don't. This is the most profitable thing in the history of profit. Okay, let's take Texas. I've got the Texas Retirement Fund. In 2010 report, I show that they made about a $600 million profit. Okay? In the teacher retirement system of Texas, again, a different pension fund within Texas, we've got total net assets fiscal year 2010 at $95,688,000,000. That is a total dollar change from the previous year of $7 billion. They made a $7 billion profit in the Texas Teachers Retirement Fund. So again, we you know, I can go on and on. I've mm-hmm. got the Washington State Department of Retirement Systems. Let's see how much they made. The combined plan net assets of all the pension funds administered by the Department of Pensions increased by $5.7 billion during fiscal year 2010. Do not ever, ever, ever let these guys tell you that pension funds are underfunded or are doing poorly.
Now,
this is after all the benefits are paid.
Okay, now tell me if my thinking's correct here or not. Okay, so you got your CalPERS or CalSTRS or whatever, and they're invested in would they not be invested in government? And so if California is supposedly going in bankruptcy, where are they investing it, and why is, you know, what's going on here? I mean,
all right, well, I'll tell you what. I will read you where the CalSTRS are invested. I'm going to read you Table 5 is the largest equity holdings as of June 30th, 2010. Excuse me. These are the largest stock ownerships in companies. Okay, ExxonMobil Corporation, 17,832,000 shares at a market value of $1 billion. Apple Incorporated, 3,128,000 shares at a market value of $786.8 million. Microsoft Corporation, 27,419,000 shares at a market value of $630.9 million. Intel Business Machines at 4.6 million shares, Procter & Gamble Company at 9.5 million shares, Johnson & Johnson Company, Corporation, I should say, 9.4 million shares, J.P. Morgan Chase, the bank, the one that everybody thinks is so evil that government is controlling, 14.6 million shares, AT&T Incorporated, 21.6 million shares, Chevron Oil Company, 7.3 million shares, and General Electric stands at 34 million shares with a value of $490 million. That's where CalSTRS is investing its money. Not into the state of California, not into anything beneficial to the state of California. It's not helping teachers, but it is loaning some of that money back to the teachers if they want to finance their housing or get a second mortgage or a first mortgage and buy a house. So it will act in ways that are usurious. In other words, it will give you a loan and charge you interest. But it will not do anything to benefit the local economy.
Okay,
that's
now
how
this
these
is
funds
where
set up for.
Okay, and this is where Walter his idea comes in, correct? Where
that's very correct.
Yeah, so to invest locally.
Yeah, well, to make it actual law that says, hey, government is there to support its local venue. It's not there to support international conglomerate corporations. It's not there to control those corporations, although the deed is already done. One of the things that people are so afraid of with Walter's TRF, and it's the Tax Retirement Fund, you can go to taxretirement.com. and check it out for yourself.
You may as well give his website and maybe his other videos that might give a different.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to support Walter, by all means, I don't send me money. Send Walter money because he's the one that can that can actually do something. Go to CAFR1, CAFR1.com. He lists his phone number and his address. You can call him up anytime. You can talk to him about this stuff. Just be patient. And realize that he has a singular sense of humor, and he's a beautiful man. Call him up. Ask him. You can ask him anything you want. He's got an answer for everything, whereas I don't. I like to think I do, but there's a lot of things that I still have to learn from him. But
he was out there on Wall Street. He was right there in the middle of it.
Well, he was one of the tenants of the world, first tenants of the World Trade Center.
Right.
So, I mean, yeah, he was a big time commodities trading advisor, very well respected back in the day, and now respected in a whole new way. But his other site is Tax Retirement Fund. If you go down to the bottom of his tax retirement, or excuse me, it's taxretirement.com. If you go down to the bottom of the page, apologize, I've been sick, sorry, I'm coughing. If you click on the prospectus that he has on there, it's just I can't even remember what it looks like, but it's at the bottom of the page. Click on it and actually read what he's trying to do. It reads just like, almost like a Declaration of Independence or a Constitution. It starts out with "We the People," and it says, "We the people of this local venue wish to take control of this and wish to pass this law that you know, changes this and does this." And so what his idea is to say, to pull back the reins and say, we're going to pass a law. Let's say I'll just take my own county here. Okay, I live in a city, in a municipality called the Draper City Corporation. That's the actual name of it. Oh, excuse me. Get a drink of water here. There's no breaks.
No, there isn't.
They're tough. I live in the Draper City Corporation. This is just simply a municipality within the county of Salt Lake, within the state of Utah. So what I would do in order to try to get my government back is I would put this prospectus, this tax retirement fund of Walter's, up for vote. So when you have something that the people vote on, you have law. Law is one of the things that are missing from our battle. You know, everybody's doing all these different things, trying to fight all these different battles to try to win back some semblance of a constitutional nation and independence and all that stuff. Well, the problem is we don't have law because we're fighting within we're basically fighting within their system, and their system, they're the ones that set the laws, or the legalities, I should say, the codes, and then they're the ones that operate outside of those codes. Meanwhile, we have to follow their rules.
Right.
Who's going to win the battle?
Right.
So what Walter simply seeks to do with this tax retirement fund is to add the laws that we can use to go in, open the books, take not only the comprehensive annual financial reports, but also take the financial books, the actual documentation of where all that money's being spent, who's spending it, where it's going internationally and nationally. And once you're able to do that, what we're talking about is transparency. Once you're able to open the books in just one little teeny municipality or a city, even a school district, then you can see where all that money is going. You can see who the players are. You can see what's going on. And his real goal, besides opening the books and changing the law so that we have something on our side that we can fight with, is to start start a fund. And that fund's called the Tax Retirement Fund. The fund is modeled after a pension fund. because again, the pension funds, as we just saw, you know, you saw that they're gaining $11, $5, and $2 billion left and right in just 1 year. The pension funds are the most successful financial model in existence. And so he's modeling the tax retirement fund exactly like a pension fund. In fact, if he could, he would recruit some of these guys that are running these fund managers, these people who are just people like you and me, who don't really understand what they're involved in. They're innocent in a very strange sort of way. Don't understand that they're a cog in a much bigger machine. Recruit these guys because they're successful at what they do. They have built these pension funds up from the bottom to being multi-billion dollar funds to the point where there's $26 trillion worth of them spread across the country. So what Walter wants to do with the tax retirement fund is to build that fund, but instead of the beneficiary of that fund being government, where the people have no vested interest in that money, they just hope that they get retirement and die before it goes bankrupt, essentially, or gets stolen. Instead, he wants to change the beneficiary from government to people, the way it should be in the first place. And so as that fund builds, let's just say after 5 years, the fund builds to the point where if we started it for our local school district, for instance, it could pay the ongoing budgetary requirements of that school district. It could pay the teachers. It could pay for any equipment. It could pay for upgrades. It could pay for new school buildings. It could pay for everything that is required to run that school system, all happening just from the profit and capital gains that are happening on that fund.
In other words, what he's pointing out is there's a lot of hands in these other pension funds that if we redesigned their structure, that you wouldn't have so many hands in there taking.
Exactly. You would pass the law. You would actually have the law that says if you try, if you even come up with a prospectus that says, I want to steal money out of that tax retirement fund and put it somewhere else. If you even try to steal, you're going to jail. Okay? What these people need up there in la-la land where they're controlling these pension funds and they're just not even thinking about the consequences of what they're doing, don't understand the corporate governance aspect, the ownership aspect, don't comprehend the vastness of this wealth. They need some laws in place that says
to be held accountable.
You work for the people. Mm-hmm. You will benefit the people, not lawyers, not attorneys that are working in government, not other countries, not international, corporations. You will not only of course you're going to have to invest in what the pension funds are investing, but he wants to also pass it so that the majority of the fund will be invested within that local structure. So if you have a business idea and you want to start a business within the local venue, you can do that because you have this fund that has a little bit of extra money, and the government can actually invest in your proposal, whereas before you couldn't do that. You can't go up against if I have a computer idea, I can't go up against Apple or Microsoft. They have a monopoly. They have a government monopoly. If I have a better widget, we're told that we have to go patent it and go through all this horrible $20 million worth of stuff before we can even get it to market. Why? That's not true. Why not have your local government invest in your idea? If it's going to benefit the prosperity and wealth of the people and bring cash flow into the city, it just makes sense.
Well,
When
you have your state banks, and I think there's only is it North Dakota or South Dakota that has the profitable bank?
Yeah, North Dakota, I think.
That in its own right is one form of investing locally. And now what Walter's doing is he's just branching it out, because banks are limited in what they can invest in, right?
Well.
Supposedly.
Yeah, I mean, you know, what is a limit at this point? I mean, you know, basically what Walter's trying to get people to say is, hey, the deed is already done. The government is already in the position where it owns, through stock investment, all these corporations. There's one way that we can maybe turn this around, and that is to take the control, take the reins, start our own funds, and start...
Just funneling it off and start and doing it in a local way.
Well, start
way.
Driving it back to the people. Part of his plan also is to go in and raid all these funds and raid all these hidden monies and put those into the tax retirement fund. If you're talking about a municipality, put it into this fund and, you know, let the wealth build instead of hiding it from the people. Let it build. And then eventually you won't need to collect taxes. Okay?
Right.
For the first 5 or 6 years, yeah, people are going to have to agree, and that's part of the vote, is to, yeah, we're going to pay a 1 to 8% tax, whatever the people want, and fund this fund and let it grow and let it invest and let it do exactly what these pension funds are doing. And at the point where it's able to start paying for everything, you will no longer need a property tax because whatever your property tax is paying for, it's already being paid for out of the fund. I mean, it's just to me, it's the only idea that I've ever heard of from anybody that actually makes sense, that's logical. It creates the law and follows the law. It gives the authority back to the people, and it makes the beneficiary of government activities the people once more instead of government. And to me, like I said, I've just not heard anyone else put anything out there even closely, remotely like this,
right,
that takes the power back from government and puts it back to the people.
Right. And so, ultimately going to the website corporationnation.com, you can view the video that gets into at least understanding what you're looking at when you approach your governments and start asking questions. I mean, again, you don't have to necessarily be right. Just start asking questions. You might be surprised at what starts coming forward. I mean, look at you didn't get where you're at without asking questions, right?
Absolutely not.
And so it just starts the ball rolling and getting people more educated on how our governments are functioning and what we can do with it and how it can be invested back in us instead of running off into some direction to some other continent or whatever and never seeing it again.
You know, that's another very important thing for people to understand. You know, we've been conditioned, all of us, to think that we are, you know, outsourcing all of our jobs and all of our manufacturing everything to China and to India and to all these places. But the reality of the situation, and it's a really simple concept, but I don't think a lot of people think of this, we're not outsourcing our jobs. Well, I mean, I will say we are outsourcing our jobs, but we're not outsourcing them to Chinese companies. We're outsourcing them to our own companies who have set up a massive infrastructure in these third world countries and who've built up the economies of China and Indonesia and all of these other countries. And there we are sending our work over to American companies who are set up in other countries. So we're still buying American, but the jobs, that the actual manufacturing jobs, are going elsewhere. So, again, we cannot put the blame on China. We cannot put the blame on when we get these, for instance, the melamine in the plastics. You know, when Mattel and all these toy companies had to recall all these toys from China, they're recalling them from their own companies. You see what I'm saying? It's not that China is bad. It's that the American companies have exported everything to countries where they don't have to follow the laws of manufacturing in America. They've exported the pollution. They've exported everything over to China. Right now, China is the most disgusting, polluted place I've ever seen. I couldn't believe some of the pictures I saw. We've exported everything over there, but it's still American companies. So put the blame where it belongs. First of all, government allows this to happen. Second of all, the companies, these corporations who are making things in other countries are doing it through their own companies. They are not Chinese companies. And I think that's just so important because it's the paradigm is that, oh, well, it's bad quality because it's made in China, but it's made in China in an American company.
You know, I want to kind of bring this to a close a little bit because you have another project you're working on, and I also kind of wanted to get into that in the last few minutes of the program. But I do believe that if we start looking into this and realize that one of the major things that I'm noticing right now is that how the propaganda machine is being beaten to get us to think that, you know, everything is terrible, and yet when what you point out in these reports is it isn't. It's just a matter of how you shift the money and start looking at it and utilizing it. Am I stating that right?
Well, absolutely. Absolutely. Like I said, when you go down the list and you realize that pension funds are making billions and millions of dollars, governments across the country for this year are reporting gains in assets and gains in investments and gains in their funds. And then when you go back and you look at the history of each government, you'll see that over the last 20, 25 years, it's been a steady increase in wealth. Mm-hmm. So there's going to always be bad years. There's always going to be times where 2007, 2008 come along and the pension funds go down and the government says, oh, no, we had a loss this year. But, you know, you have to take into consideration that over the last 25 years, 20 of those years were profitable.
Right.
Okay, so if you have 2 years that were just breaking even and 3 years that were not profitable, where they actually did take a loss, which is, you know, even that is suspect,
uh-huh.
Did they really take a loss? You have to consider the whole history of government. You can't just take 1 year specifically and say that's, oh, well, this we're doing really bad. But that's what they do. When they report to you how bad things are, they're taking one aspect of government, one aspect, which is usually taxation. They used sales tax in our case this year to raise our property taxes because sales taxes supposedly went down. But they're always going to do that. There's always going to be something that's missing or wrong or in the red, and they're going to constantly harp that in the media and to their constituents, and that's the way it's been. It's the way it's always going to be, unless you stand up and call BS and
right.
say, "Hey."
And that's where getting somewhat educated and looking at these.
And I'll tell
reports.
You, that's what I'm trying to do. In fact, I'm going to send out another video here as soon as I can get it all together. I'm kind of writing a script right now, and it'll show you how to go through. Like I said, I went through the county CAFR. And I'm also going to show the city CAFR, and people can do the same thing and start calling these guys out on their lies, because that's what it's going to take is people getting up and doing these confrontations, getting up, going to their city council meetings and say, why don't you use this money? I don't understand. Get it on film. Put it on the Internet. Try to get it on your news, which will be almost impossible, your local news. Maybe try to get it into your alternative newspapers, although the word alternative is just mainstream flipped upside down.
But don't you have to also be paying attention to, because even when Walter was doing this, he was finding things were disappearing out of those reports.
Yeah, there's a lot of inconsistencies, and I don't claim to possibly be able to explain them. Again, I'm a neophyte. I'm a novice compared to Walter. So I mean, I'm just good with concepts and ideas, and I can understand what's happening. But it, you know, that type of stuff, you know, I usually say, hey, ask Walter.
Well, the thing is, you know, I mean, why is it we're giving up our, you know, our pensions to somebody that has a good story and can tell us, you know, when we ask, we need to be, you know, asking for the proof, just like, you know, these people that are getting their mortgages taken, when some of them are starting to find out that, you know, these mortgages were put out there and a chain of paperwork did not go with them when they sold them on the as a securities out there in bunches. And I'm not an expert on it either, but I'm just saying that, you know, there's a lot, the chain of ownership has to go with those, and a lot of them got sold without that.
Yeah, well, and again, a lot of that's happening because government allows it to happen. They set up the codes and the rules and the regulations in order to allow these banks to do that. It's a symbiotic relationship that allows that to happen.
And if people go in and start typing into the net, you know, Catherine Austin Fitz or Walter Burian or the Corporation Nation with Clint Richardson, and there's people out there that are trying to get the information out to the public so that they can have some kind of knowledge and proof to see that there is, you know, we do have a way of waking people up and saying, hey, you know, it's, you know, I'm not going to spend my whole life working for the other guy if I don't have to. And it means that I have to learn something about what I'm doing and how we're being taken advantage of.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about your new endeavor with this, what you're talking about with the sheriff. Is that correct?
Yeah. Well, this is probably the most important thing that I've ever uncovered. And I've been writing for about a year and a half. I have the unique ability to just be able to take things that are complex and turn them into something that anybody can understand. That's my gift or my curse, whatever it is. It took me quite a while to figure out what the heck was going on up here in Salt Lake County. Basically, this is the most frightening thing I think I've ever come across, but we in Salt Lake County have, just like every county, we have an elected sheriff. Now, our elected sheriff just got reelected for the 2010 election there. And, excuse me, basically this is what happened. For the Salt Lake County Sheriff's Department was dissolved. Now, if you're familiar with Richard Mack and you're familiar with all these guys, you know, talking about the power of the county sheriff, which is absolutely the truth, because the county sheriff does have the power to thwart the feds and stop some of these treaties that are going on with the United Nations and individual corporate structures, it's very true that the sheriff truly is the law of the land. If you have a problem with your municipal police, if they are picking on you, or if they're doing something that's against the law, the natural course would be to call the sheriff, because the sheriff is the county sheriff. So basically what's happened up here is that the sheriff agreed to dissolve the sheriff's department. Obviously this is an unconstitutional sheriff. And in turn, the city council appointed our sheriff, Sheriff Jim Winder, to be the CEO, Chief Executive Officer, of a new police force called the Unified Police Department. Okay, this is a private company that is listed on, what's that website? Anyway, you can find it listed. I don't know if it's on Dun & Bradstreet yet, but it's officially on January 1st, 2010, the Salt Lake County Sheriff's Department was officially dissolved. The sheriff became the CEO of a new police force called the Unified Police Department. Next step the city council, or the county council, actually formed what's called a special financing district. And I was shocked to find out that these special financing districts are all over the country. California is practically all divided into these districts. The special financing district is called the Salt Lake Valley Law Enforcement Service Area. Now, let me read it to you. Actually, this is right off their website. The Salt Lake Valley Law Enforcement Service Area is not a police department. In other words, it does not provide any police protection services, nor does it employ any police officers. This is from the Salt Lake Valley Law Enforcement Service Area.org website. It says the sole purpose of the Salt Lake Valley Law Enforcement Service Area is to provide funding for police services in the unincorporated areas of Salt Lake County. The Salt Lake Valley Law Enforcement Service Area does not provide police service. Instead, it forwards revenues to the Unified Police Department, which provides law enforcement services to the unincorporated county. The Unified Police Department is responsible for all police operations. Excuse me. The Salt Lake Valley Law Enforcement Service Area was created, and this is still from their website, was created by a unanimous vote of the Salt Lake County Council. The council appointed Jim Bradley, Michael Jensen, Mayor Peter Caroon, to serve as the service area trustees. Again, trustee is a corporate term. Councilman Bradley serves as the chair, and of course, Sheriff Winder is the CEO of the corporation. So that's what we have now.
So they become revenue operations.
Well, it gets worse. It gets a whole lot worse, actually. What this Salt Lake Valley Law Enforcement Service Area, it is nothing. It is a council. It is what's called a special financing district, which is what I'm studying now, and I'm pretty disturbed at what I'm finding on it. But basically, that's all it is this council. They created a district, and then what they went and did is they sent out letters to all of the people who live within Salt Lake County but are not within corporate municipalities, municipal corporations. So anybody that's not in an incorporated city got these letters. The letters basically said, we are charging you a police protection fee. This fee is going to be $176, and you need to pay it, and we're sorry. Is basically what the letter said. If you don't do it, then we're gonna have to fire 60% of the police officers, and they go into the fear tactics and all that. Second letter that was in March 2010. Second letter came out in I think it was July, and it stated that we see that you haven't paid your property your police protection fee that we arbitrarily just came up with, and we are sorry to see that, and we're just informing you that if you don't pay it, we're going to have to attach it to your property tax. Now, if you know anything about property tax, if you don't pay your property tax, they can come in and take your house. Okay? So this little
So they're really after people's property with this, right?
You could look at it that way. What you really could look at it is compare this to the IRS and the Fed. Okay, the Fed sends you a bill saying you got to pay. If you don't pay, they get the IRS to come, their little police force, and they come and they mess with you and they take your home and they take your property.
Mm-hmm.
This is no different. This is a little council that's acting as the Fed, government essentially, telling, and they're sending you a letter and they're saying you got to pay a fee that we're just arbitrarily coming up with after we dissolved your sheriff's department, and if you don't pay it, we're going to have the Unified Police Department, our private corporate police force, come and take your house because we're going to attach it to your property tax.
So in other words, also the police departments have now become what they served and did before has now become defunct because now they're revenue agencies.
They are not there to protect and serve. In fact, there's been several court cases that show police do not have to do anything for you. They are simply there as code enforcement officers for whatever municipality they work for. The only difference, and the only one that is above that, is the sheriff. And that really is dependent on the individual person who's acting as sheriff. That's why sheriff's department is so absolutely, and we're talking about the county sheriff, is so absolutely instrumental in keeping things good. I mean, this is actually making me want to move out of the city. This is the county, because this is so, this is tyranny to the extreme.
Yeah, but
now, it doesn't stop there.
Okay, that's because, what I was going to say. I can just see, well, the fire department can do this.
Well, our fire department, it turned out, which I found out, it already did it about a year and a half ago, that we have a unified police, unified fire department. Same okay, so let me get into this. Because this is only a three-person council, you know, four-person council. It doesn't do anything. It doesn't have any, I mean, it's just in name only. They created a district, okay? The question is, who's running the district? Well, for that answer, on the bill, it says, and this is what took me so long to understand and figure out, on the actual bill, it states that all billing and everything else is being handled by NBS. Now, it took me a while, but I finally found NBS. NBS is a private, non-governmental corporation. So it's a private corporation, has nothing to do with government, that is incorporated in California. Okay?
Okay.
What this company is a corporation that does exactly what we're talking about. It runs and sets up this type of fee structure, this type of financing. And so this private corporation in California is the one that is sending all of these bills and letters out to all of the people in the unincorporated areas of Salt Lake County, which is now called a district called the Salt Lake, you know, all that, Salt Lake Valley Law Enforcement Service Area. So basically what we have now is this council, which outsources all governmental activities within their district that they set up to this company in California. And they're the ones that are doing all the billing, they're the ones doing all the collecting, and they're the ones that are going to be issuing notices, pretty much, of...
So you can see this in your building departments. You could see this in all kinds of entities where they had services in the past, will not necessarily have to... any kind of a taxing district that you normally, you know, would have been contributing to...
Exactly. Exactly. And the worst part about it is what I'm now starting to understand, and I don't want to go into it too much, but it sounds like what they're actually doing is that the Salt Lake Valley Law Enforcement, the council is actually floating a bond, and this company is the one financing that bond. And this company in California, it's a financing company. And it sounds like the county... the district that they set up, so in other words, the county council, is forcing the people without vote or anything to put up their land, property, and title up as collateral for the bond that is being floated by this private corporation. That's what I've gotten so far. I haven't really comprehended what's going on, but it scares the heck out of me. And this is going on all over the country. There's dozens of corporations that are not government that are doing this, and you know, this just this NBS. If you go to nbsgov.com, so it's not even a government website, nbsgov.com, you can actually read some of their perspectives. You can go to their clients list. You can see that they have done the same thing with Los Angeles County. They've done the same thing with San Diego. They've done the same thing with school districts in California. They've done the same thing with Riverside County, San Francisco. I mean, it's horrendous.
How are they selling it to these places? Do you have any clue?
It's been going on for a long time, which is the scariest part. It's a whole package that's been happening since I don't know when. And I wish I had more information on it, but people need to look and see if their sheriff's department is even a sheriff's department anymore. See if their district that they live in is even a you know, what
is
it
this,
is.
Do you think maybe this ties into some of these council of governments or whatever?
Oh, absolutely. It ties into everything. It ties into Agenda 21. It ties into treaties. It ties into all kinds of things. What's really scary is that, like I said, is these bonds. They're floating these bonds, and the government, your government, our government is putting our very homes up as collateral. They're putting us up as collateral, and if something doesn't work out, I honestly don't know what would happen. So
in other words, this is something to start looking into and find out, you know, start asking questions about and looking.
Someone with way more, you know, clout and comprehension of this type of thing than me needs to look into this and say, I mean, I'm going to put my story out and hope that someone important sees it and says, whoa, wait a minute, how can this be happening? Because that's what I'm saying, and I don't know how to answer that question. It's frightening. This is the most frightening thing I've seen, because we lost our sheriff. Do you understand that I cannot call if I have a problem with anything? I no longer have a sheriff. I mean, you know, think about Westerns. Think about who's the hero. Who's always been portrayed as the hero? Who's always been there for the people? Who's the law of the land? You know, when you think of the law, who do you think of? Well, shoot, we're America. You probably think of the military at this point. But, I mean, it's frightening to me that I cannot call my sheriff because he is now compromised, because he's the chief operating officer and chief executive officer of a private police force. Very, very frightening. Also, you know, before that happened, they made our police force here, each individual municipal corporation became a multi-jurisdictional police force, meaning that if I get pulled over by a neighboring city or even a city on the other side of the county, they have just as much authority as they would if I was in their county. So we have multi-jurisdictional task force, meaning that all the police pretty much now are within this unified police department and can pull you over anywhere. They can do anything they want.
Well, you've been seeing a lot of that, actually, in other aspects. But now that what it seems like you're uncovering is that they're putting the infrastructure there to show that it really is being put into place.
It's purposely being put into play. They're purposely creating these special financing districts, giving them law. They're giving them the power to tax the people. The worst kind of tax, because it's property tax, meaning that they can attach it to your home and take your home if you don't pay it, if you disagree with it, if you don't want police protection because you're not in an incorporated area. Some people are purposefully not living in incorporated areas. I mean, one guy told me that if you saw these police, you wouldn't want them. They've got tattoos down to their wrists. They've obviously been in prison. They act like they've been in prison, and they're rough. They're not friendly. They're not people that you would even want to call if you were having a problem. So you're forced to pay a fee for police protection, and if you don't pay it, they're going to take your home.
This is kind of reminiscent of things in the past for,
yes.
I mean, people that put up with in cities and stuff like that.
Yes.
So who
well,
could walk into your business and demand protection money or whatever.
This is the time right now where we have to say enough's enough. You know, I'm doing this alone, honestly. I live in fantasy land here with the way the city's run. It's pretty much run by the church, actually. But this is absolutely frightening in its implications of what can happen in the future now, and I don't know what the solution is, but I think I'm seriously thinking about having a massive recall campaign because, I mean, how can you have a sheriff that's a CEO? It's an elected person who's appointed as CEO within the government. I mean, it's it's mind-boggling, really. I don't even know how can this happen?
Well, there's a whole lot of things that are taking place that are incrementally being, you know, implemented all around the country. And even though you may not be seeing it right at this moment, we're finding people in various parts of the country are experiencing it. And if we're not paying attention, once it flies in one area, then before you know it, you see it all over. Just kind of like what they're having to fight in Texas over the Trans-Texas Corridor.
Oh, yeah. And that's been going on for so long, too. And you said the most important word, I think, that everybody needs to really grasp is incrementalism, because, you know, I promote that all the time. I constantly been telling people the reason that this is happening is because it's been happening over time. It's you haven't seen it. You haven't. You're slowly being introduced to a prison state. You're slowly being introduced to a police state. You're slowly, basically, as far as I'm concerned, you're slowly being introduced into a gangland style protection scheme,
right?
Here, anyway. You know, instead of burning your house down, they're going to bring the corporate private police department in and take it and sell it. It's much more profitable. It's a much more civilized way of being a gang or a mafia.
It's pretty spooky.
It's basically what it is.
It's pretty spooky what's going on out there, and that's what I'm trying to do with this program is, you know, I mean, if we all sit back and just let it happen, it'll happen because it is. But, you know, there's a big major agenda behind it, and if we don't start asking questions and pointing out, I mean, this is the kind of legacy we're going to pass along to our children.
Absolutely.
And
well, I commend you for, you know, I commend anybody that's willing to talk about these types of things, because, you know, it's getting to the point where I'm getting a little frightened, you know, the things that I'm uncovering. I've got so much more to say. One of those things is the courts being private corporations.
Right,
The judge actually owns the courts. I mean, is that lawful? The whole system is private.
And it's about money. About money.
So, I mean, I commend you definitely for talking about it. Because, like I said, this is not talked about. Comprehensive annual financial reports will never be talked about in the mainstream media. Never. Ever.
Right. And but
never
I
have,
you know
never will.
But you know, thanks for, you know, I mean, I know you had to put a lot of work and time into that in that video, and thanks for, you know, what you're doing. And I see that we've, you know, got a research journalist started here, and it's going to continue to keep going until, you know, we can't do it anymore, I guess. So
yeah, well, I intend to step on as many toes and stab as many backs as I can before I get taken out. So
all right, well, Clint, thanks a lot for coming on the programming and enlightening our audience, and I hope that the people do get out there and watch your video, and that we can maybe make some headway, because if, you know, we got to wake up and we got to do it quick, because there's a lot going down very fast. So
very fast.
Right. And so thanks a lot.
You got it. Well, thank you for having me.
Okay. Good night.
Take care.
Mm-hmm.